Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You gone, my heart is torn. Sometimes I look to the sky, ask why I was born. My faith in God, every day is hard, every night is worse. That's why I pray so hard.
Why I pray so hard? This is crazy, God. Just when I thought I had everything, I lost it all. So case
this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. So we just heard our guests and some of you, our listeners, casting votes for the most influential person in music over the past quarter century. There is a strong case to be made for each of the members of this duo, Jay-Z and Kanye West. Their powerful alliance has been one of the most fruitful in hip-hop, and their latest collaboration is an album called Watch the Throne. Joining us to talk about it is Sophie Harris, music critic for Time Out New York and Mojo Magazine. And Sophie, welcome back.
Hey, John. It's nice to be back.
This probably is the most hyped release of 2011.
It's hugely hyped.
Is
it
worth it?
So hyped by its own creators, which which I love. They've done all the work. Yes, it is worth it, which is almost annoying to the haters because it is so good, undeniably good, in my humble opinion.
Well, now, this is not the first time the two of them have collaborated.
Yes, that's true.
Kanye used to produce Jay-Z.
Yeah, Kanye kind of cut his teeth producing for Rockefeller Records and then was invited to produce on the Blueprints 1 and 2. And they became buddies. And so Jay kind of had this mentor role. And Kanye was absolutely in awe of Jay. And I don't think he quite shrugs that off even on this album. There's still that kind of big brother, little brother dynamic.
So you think you still get a sense of mentor and protege here?
Yeah, I think you do. And I think partly because Jay-Z is such an extraordinary MC, and I don't think we've had a sense of that on Jay's, certainly not on the Blueprint 3, which I felt was a little bit toothless in comparison to some of his best work and a bit kind of wifed up and cozy.
You say wifed up?
I'm afraid I did.
What does that mean?
You know, cozy, settling in with Beyonce. It's a great pop album.
Uh-huh.
And this is like a
And this
great...
is before Beyonce was pregnant.
Yes, indeed it was.
Which she now is, in case you haven't heard.
But this is Jay-Z on top kind of lyrical spitting form. And in that respect, Kanye is behind the decks and they're doing what they do best. You know, Kanye's producing some of the best beats that he's ever produced. I don't think it's his best performance as a rapper. I think it is Jay's best performance in years.
What about, some of the samples? The song we were just hearing, Welcome to the Jungle, the opening, you know, has this kind of sinuous guitar thing. Completely obscure sample from Phil Manzanera, the Roxy Music guitarist, from a solo. So it's not even a Roxy Music, it's a solo thing from
I know.
Phil Manzanera.
But this is so good, though, because Kanye does love prog. You know, he uses a lot of strange samples, and at the same time...
Witness the King Crimson in Power.
Precisely. Yeah. Exactly what I was thinking. But then at the same time, you have this wonderful kind of soul lineage. You have Nina Simone samples, you have that rather contentious Otis Redding sample. So that's coming through also, which is, I think, another one of the reasons why this album is so strongly positioned, because it covers all bases.
It also samples a James Brown tune several times on several different tracks on the record. A lot of people are focusing on the end of the record. For you, is this a record that builds to a grand finale?
Yeah, I think it is. I think the kind of last three songs really are the heart of the record. I think there is a lot of pomp and bluster, particularly at the beginning of the record, which kind of matches its shiny gold cover. And that's to be expected, and it sets the tone, and it's like, yes, we mean business. But absolutely, by the end of the record, it becomes a very political record. And I think a lot of people have kind of missed that point and said, oh, they've been name-dropping all these famous brands and fancy designers. And it's like, yes, the point is they're making a critique of the way that society is now. And it's, for my money, it's one of the most fascinating, sober explorations of the black experience in America that I've ever heard.
Sophie Harris is talking about Watch the Throne, which is the album released this month by Jay-Z and Kanye West. 12 tracks. Track 11 is called Made in America and features the young Frank Ocean from the L.A. hip-hop collective Odd Future.
Sweet Queen Coretta. Sweet Brother Malcolm, Sweet Queen Betty, Sweet Mother Mary, Sweet Father Joseph, Sweet Jesus, we made it in America. Ooh.
I told my mama I was on the come up. She said, you going to school, I give you a summer. Then she met no ID and gave me his number. 10 years later, she driving a Hummer. Just hustle every day for a beat from Ye. What I do, turn around, get them beats to Jay. And I'm rapping on the beats they was supposed to buy. I guess I'm getting high on my own supply. Downtown, mixing fabrics, trying to find a
man. Song's called Made in America, and you hear Frank Ocean from Odd Future crooning, Sweet Baby Jesus, we made it in America. And then Kanye comes in and Jay-Z later. And Sophie, it seems like they're talking about the experience of successful black men in America, but you're hearing something else in this track.
Yeah, certainly successful black men in America, and Jay has the line, I pledge allegiance to all my scramblers, this is the Star Spangled Banner. But the other thing that I find so interesting about this song and some of the other later tracks on the record is it's a really kind of balanced consideration of fatherhood and the fact that Jay was brought up without a dad. But it's not just that, oh, we have no dad. It's like, how will I be as a father? And these are two adult men talking about their responsibilities in a way that I really haven't heard before.
Now, what about, you know, Jay-Z and Beyonce are about to, you know, they're going to have a kid. And Mrs. Jay-Z, Beyonce Knowles, appears on Liftoff. Now, is this the hit single? Is this what the fans are paying their money for?
Yes, and it's wonderful. I was lucky enough to hear this song for the first time at the playback of the album, which was held in the Hayden Planetarium. So the listeners are lying down, you're supine on these amazing chairs, looking up and seeing kind of asteroids, meteors, comets whizzing above your head.
It was a very understated sort of...
Very understated, very small speaker system, didn't hurt my ears, didn't have paper in my ears at all.
Were Jay-Z and Kanye there?
They were. And it was tremendously exciting. And it's very difficult to kind of hold onto your hat as a critic and, you know, and not be blown away by that kind of thing. But I do think this song delivers, yep.
The song is Liftoff, featuring Beyonce from the album Watch the Throne.
We gon' take it to the moon.
Taking my coat off, showing my tattoos, I'm such a show off, huh? I feel the pain and then roll off, I got the whole city, they about to go off. How many niggas with me up in India? How many people wanna roll on me?
That is Liftoff from Kanye West and Jay-Z, their collaborative record Watch the Throne, and this track featuring Beyonce. Other guests on the record, the RZA from the Wu-Tang Clan, Justin Vernon from Bon Iver, who was on Kanye's last record, back again. Let me read you, Sophie, something that Nitsu Abebe wrote in New York Magazine about this record. Have you heard the one about two rappers who dwell on their wealth and power in a moment where other people are watching theirs slip away while the market's crashing and London's in flames? I mean, the whole material aspect of
this. I hear you, and I'm a big fan of Nitsu's writing. I think he's great. But as a Londoner responding to the London's in flames criticism, yes, London was terrible, but do you know what? That was a bunch of kids running into sneaker stores to rob sneakers. And if you listen to one of the lines on Murder to Excellence, Kanye says, ain't nothing on the news but the blues. Go to the mall, buy some Gucci. Now ain't nothing on the news but the shoes. And it's like... That's the point. It's not just Watch the Throne. It's the view from the throne. It's like, what's going on? What have we achieved? What is the state of the nation?
They're setting the bar pretty high for themselves with that title. Then
they are, but I think it's ambiguous. I think so much of this album is so kind of finely nuanced. I mean, of course, there's swagger. You know, these two practically invented swagger. But I also think they're two of the canniest, brightest rappers around. So
Kanye especially seems to just invite. You know, he's like basically, you know, ripping his shirt open and showing you his chest and saying, come on, give me your best shot.
Yeah, and he's got into this kind of vocal tick habit that I think the Village Voice pointed out, going, like the whole way through the album. It's very pronounced here.
We've heard a fair amount of Kanye in the clips that we've heard so far. Here's a little bit of Jay-Z in the song Murder to Excellence.
Bloody murder, murder.
Papery murder. Black on black murder. Papery murder. Black on black murder.
This is to the memory of Dan Roy Henry. Too much enemy fire to catch a friend. Strays from the same shade, still we on the same team. Giving you respect, I expect the same thing. All black anything, you know my fresh coat. My fight for you, don't increase my stress though. Watching stone, very happy to be you. Power to the people, when you see me, see you.
And I'm from the murder capital, where they murder for capital. Heard about at least 3 killings this afternoon. Looking at the news like them, I was just with them after school. No shop class, but
Kanye West and Jay-Z, the album is called Watch the Throne. That's another of those final 3 tracks where the album really does build to something rather impressive. Murder to Excellence.
It does. And indeed, within that track, you start off the track having this consideration of black-on-black violence and all the things that are going so terribly wrong. And then it turns into excellence and, you know, and really celebrating the black experience.
And it actually has 2 different producers on the track, one for the murder part and another. So it's really like a medley. It's murder and excellence.
It is. And that's another thing I love about the album is it's ambitious. You know, they've got everyone in. What can you give?
We're speaking with Sophie Harris. She is music critic for Time Out New York and a contributor to Mojo Magazine, has been known to sit in this chair on occasion when I'm not here on soundcheck. And Sophie, what else have you been listening to? I mean, in terms of, you know, an R&B connection, who's this band, The Weeknd?
So The Weeknd are pals of Drake's from Toronto. I know you were talking about Drake earlier. I was very surprised your listener named him as in such a kind of grand role as being hugely influential on music. But they're friends with Drake from back in Toronto, and not your typical polite Canadians at all. Their music is kind of filled with this sort of sleazy hotel vibe. This is the second of their big mixtapes this year, I think, that we're about to hear from, and it's definitely worth investigating.
This is called Thursday from The Weeknd. That is The Weeknd and Life of the Party from their new mixtape called Thursday, which has also been on critic Sophie Harris's recent playlist. What else? Something closer to home? Part of the Brooklyn scene, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, it's been hard to avoid, if you wanted to, Annie Clark, a.k.a. St. Vincent, who's this stylish New Yorker, queen of icy pop, friends with Sufjan Stevens. That was kind of how she came up. And she has just produced a new video to her single Cruel, which has her being buried alive by her own family while she stares at the camera very blankly, very disturbingly.
It's a very, very creepy little video that
she's released. Extremely creepy.
I mean, people talk about, you know, drowning in domestic life. She is quite literally drowning in it in this video. Now, she records under the name St. Vincent. I mean, it is essentially Annie Clark.
Yes, it is.
Sings and plays guitar.
She sings and plays guitar, but she's also one of these rare individuals with the gift of looping. So she'll stand on the stage and be womaning the pedals and cueing various samples and doing that kind of Andrew Bird thing.
Right.
So she brings it.
She has done for us here in the Soundcheck studio, amazing to watch her do it. It's so precise.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's got the technique there. So there's a new album due in just a couple of weeks.
Yeah, Strange Mercy comes out in a couple of weeks. And I believe she's playing in 3 or 4 weeks' time. She just played the Met, which was a kind of talk of the town show. So
the Metropolitan Museum.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. St. Vincent, a.k.a. Annie Clark. You can find this song online, even though the record, Strange Mercy, isn't out till September 13th. The song is called Cruel. And Sophie Harris, music critic for Time Out New York, contributor to Mojo Magazine. Always a pleasure to have you. Thanks for dropping by.
Oh, thanks so much.
Well, that's going to do it for Soundcheck today. On our next program, be ready to be provoked. First, Rage Against the Machine guitarist Tom Morello talks about fusing comic books and music and politics. And then Sean Lennon discusses the legacy of the bad boy of French pop, Serge Gainsbourg. That's tomorrow. And listeners, WNYC and our sister station WQXR need your music suggestions for the 10-year anniversary of September 11th. What music would you like to hear? As you think about the events of 10 years ago, we're creating a playlist for a project called Measuring Time for broadcast starting at noon on Sunday, September 11th. To leave your suggestion, visit wnyc.org/soundcheck. Our technical director is Irene Trudell, the program produced by Katie Bishop and Greta Cohn. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer. We had help today from Vaughn Sulit. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.